Okay, Zechariah chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. Let's stand together that we might honor the reading of God's Word. Again, those watching in from home tonight, we invite you to stand where you are in honor of the Word of God. Zechariah chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. The word of the Lord also came to me, saying, take an offering from the exiles from Heldai, Tobijah, and Jediah, and you go the same day and enter the house of Josiah the son of Zephaniah, where they have arrived from Babylon. Take silver and gold, make an ornate crown and set it on the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Then say to him, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, a man whose name is Branch, for he will branch out from where he is, and he will build the temple of the Lord. Yes, it is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will bear the honor and sit and rule on his throne. Thus he will be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace will be between the two offices. Now the crown will become a reminder in the temple of the Lord to Helem, Tobijah, Jediah, and Hanan, the son of Zephaniah. Those who are far off will come and build the temple of the Lord. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, and it will take place if you completely obey the Lord your God. Heavenly Father, before this wonderful section tonight, full of wonder prophetically about Messiah. Before this section, we marvel and we bow. And we ask, Lord, that your Spirit might take of it this evening and instruct us and encourage us and remind us, Lord, to seek first your coming kingdom, your righteousness, knowing, Lord, that all other things will be added unto us. And so we give you all honor, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have spent from chapter 1, verse 7 in Zechariah, all the way through chapter 6, verse 8, looking at the eight visions that Zechariah had in one evening. We won't go back through all eight of those tonight, but be reminded that they teach concerning God's plan for Israel, that God does have a plan, a future for Israel, and that the enemies of Israel and those who would do harm to them and be against them, God will judge. So we have seen that in these eight visions. And Zechariah has been reminded that God will fulfill his promise to Israel. This prophetic word, you see it in verse 9 of chapter 6, the word of the Lord also came to me saying. It's a prophetic word from God, and it follows very soon after the eight visions. So what is this prophetic word, and what is it designed to do? In verses 10 through the beginning of verse 12, we see that this word is Yahweh's prophetic instruction to Zechariah. The Lord is telling Zechariah to do something and how to do it. If you look in verse 10, verse 11, and the beginning of verse 12, just notice the verbs that are there that the Lord is instructing Zechariah to do these things. Verse 10, take, go, enter. Verse 11, take, make, set. Verse 12, say. So the Lord is giving instruction in this prophetic word. So let's see what those instructions are. In verse 10, there is the instruction to go to Josiah's house. Now, we're not given any information about who Josiah is in this. So this is definitely not the king Josiah that would have been much earlier than this time. This is someone by the name of Josiah. And in Josiah's house, there were three visiting exiles from Babylon. So you can see that in verse 10, where they have arrived from Babylon. These three, Heldai, Tobijah, and Jediah, were staying at Josiah's house. Now, this is part of the next phase of the return of Jews from Babylon that will occur under Ezra and Nehemiah. And so we get a little bit of information from Ezra about this. And if you'll keep your place here in Zechariah chapter 6, just look with me at Ezra chapter 7, verses 14 through 20. Ezra 7:14. For as much as you are sent by the king and his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem, according to the law of your God, which is in your hand, and to bring the silver and gold, which the king and his counselors have freely offered to the God of Israel, whose dwelling is in Jerusalem, with all the silver and gold which you shall find in the whole province of Babylon, along with the freewill offering of the people, that is, Jewish people, and of the priests who offered willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem. With this money, therefore, you shall diligently buy bulls, rams, and lambs with their grain offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them on the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. Now notice Ezra 7:18. Whatever seems good to you and to your brothers to do with the rest of the silver and gold, you may do according to the will of your God. Also the utensils which are given to you for the service of the house of your God, deliver in full before the God of Jerusalem. The rest of the needs for the house of your God, for which you may have occasion to provide, provide for it from the royal treasury. So notice these exiles are beginning now to bring silver and gold for the completion of the rebuilding of the temple and to be used in temple sacrifices and ceremonies that go on there, and whatever else the Lord desires. If there's any left over, they can use it any way the Lord leads them. We'll keep that in mind as we continue reading now in Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah is to go to Josiah's house and meet these three visiting exiles, and Zechariah is to receive from them the silver and gold offering that they make. Now remember, the silver and gold offering not only comes from the people of Israel giving contributions, but it comes from the king of Persia as well. So they have silver and gold. So you see that in verse 10, take an offering from them. Verse 11, take silver and gold, which they have brought along with them. Verse 11, Zechariah is to use the silver and gold to make a crown. That's what the Lord told him. That's the instruction. And also in verse 11, Zechariah is told to set the crown on the head of Joshua, the high priest. Now, Joshua, the high priest, he is the same one that we met back in Zechariah chapter 3, where in that vision we saw the cleansing of Joshua, the high priest. But notice, Joshua is a priest. Now, this isn't hard. You don't usually put a crown on the head of the priest. The crown goes on the head of whom? The king. But Zechariah is told here, make a crown and put it on the head of Joshua the high priest. Keep that in mind. And the beginning of verse 12, speak to Joshua, say to him, thus says the Lord of hosts. So that's the prophetic instruction to Zechariah. Go get the silver and gold, make a crown, set it on Joshua's head. All right. But why? What does that mean? Well, let's look at what Zechariah is instructed to tell Joshua and really all of Israel through this. Zechariah's prophetic information for Israel, beginning in verse 12. We first see prophetic information concerning the branch. The branch is Messiah. This one in verse 12, Zechariah is to say, behold a man whose name is Branch. Please notice the branch is a man. The Messiah is fully God, and the Messiah is fully man. This is important. He is a man. And Messiah remains tonight a man for you. Your whole hope, your relationship with God is built out of this truth. There is a resurrected, ascended man in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. He is a man. He doesn't just look like one. He really is one. A man. Branch, and we saw this back in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8, so you can glance back there if you desire. Branch is a messianic title. The branch is Messiah, a messianic title. I've listed a number of verses for you there in your notes. We're not going to look at all of them tonight because we looked at them when we were looking at Zechariah chapter 3 verse 8 that referred to God's servant, the branch. So this messianic title, there is in collections of manuscripts an Aramaic targum which reads this way at verse 12. Behold the man, Messiah is his name who is to be revealed. That's how one manuscript translated what is here in Hebrew. When you read, "Behold the man," that certainly reminds you of Jesus, doesn't it? Behold the man. And we are told that his name is Branch, for, because, he will branch out from where he is. That is, when he ultimately comes, he will branch out, his kingdom will branch out and will grow all over the earth. That is the messianic kingdom. This man, whose name is Branch, the Messiah, we're told in verse 13, he will build Yahweh's temple. Who will build the temple? Messiah will build the temple. We're told in verse 13, he will bear the honor. That is the honor of king, the honor of majesty, the majesty of God. The branch, Messiah, is honored as God. He is King Yahweh. He is King Jesus. And he, verse 13, will rule on his throne. He will rule on his throne as king. Messiah is coming to earth, and when he comes to earth, he will rule on earth as king from his throne. And Zechariah's visions have reinforced to us that throne will be in Jerusalem. So this is not Messiah's heavenly throne. This is his throne on earth, ruling from Jerusalem. And verse 13, look at it carefully. He will be a priest on his throne. He will rule and he will be a priest on his throne. And the council of peace will be between the two offices. The two offices of king and priest. As you read through the Old Testament, you are aware, David, as an example, was very careful to stay within the bounds of his role as king and not to overstep them and take the role of priest. Neither were priests permitted to overstep and take the role of king. Those were separate offices in Israel, and that was a line that was not to be crossed or confused. But we're told here that in Messiah, there will be a council of peace between the office of king and priest. Now, if you are a Jew, at the time of Zechariah, do you know anything about that? And the answer is, yes, you do. Immediately, those who heard Zechariah would think of someone. That someone you find in the book of Genesis. And so I would invite you to look at Genesis chapter 14, starting at verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem. Was Melchizedek a king? Yes. King of Salem brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God the Most High. Was Melchizedek a king? Yes. Was Melchizedek a priest? Yes. Melchizedek combined the office of king and priest in his one being. Genesis 14:19, he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." So Melchizedek, the king priest, blessed Abraham. Now, you know something about this, and so would Zechariah's hearers, because they not only had the book of Genesis and would have thought of Melchizedek, they had Psalm 110. And we won't go there tonight because we went there a number of times in our journey through Psalms recently. But you do remember in Psalm 110 verse 1 and verse 4 that Messiah is said to be after the order of Melchizedek. Messiah is king and priest. Now, you and I tonight even have more advantage because we have the book of Hebrews, and Hebrews chapter 7 tells us that Melchizedek is Jesus. Combining these. So a priest on his throne, bringing the office of king and priest together, that is what happens in Messiah and in Messiah's kingdom on this earth. He is prophet, priest, and king, all three. Messiah. Now, this is precious to us because Messiah, because we have him, we're not all concerned about details of the law, which make it so that we have to sort all of these things out. All we have to do is look to Jesus. And in Jesus, there is all of this. He is King, he is priest, and he's all we need. So it's a beautiful picture for us as well. Now, verses 14 and 15, this prophetic information concerns the application to Joshua as high priest and to all of Israel, including those who have not returned from Babylon yet. So let's look at this application that is established. Verse 14, this crown. So the crown that Zechariah puts on Joshua's head. What is that crown for? Verse 14 says, now the crown will become a reminder in the temple of the Lord to Helam, Tobijah, Jediah, and Hain, the son of Zephaniah. You'll notice that the three exiles from verse 10 are mentioned in verse 14, along with an additional name, Hain, the son of Zephaniah. And so the crown on Joshua's head is a reminder. It's a memorial to them. So what's the point here in verse 14? These exiles have brought a gift of silver and gold. A crown is made of it. They are only visiting. They're going to go back to Babylon and report, and then later come back with others who will journey and return to Jerusalem. The crown on Joshua, the high priest's head, is a sign. It's a reminder. It's a symbol to them that says what? Messiah is coming. The temple will be completed. Messiah's kingdom will come. Now, as they would take that message back to Babylon, would that be a helpful, encouraging message to those in Babylon, hoping now to return to Jerusalem? Yes. Return. Why? We saw a symbol of God's promise, the Messiah, his kingdom, the millennial temple, the future temple. We saw all of that. Is there a future for Israel? Yes. So let's return to Jerusalem. That's the whole point of this. We could say it this way. The crowning of Joshua represents the fulfillment of all eight of Zechariah's visions in the Messiah. The Messiah ultimately is the fulfillment of all eight of Zechariah's visions. And so the crown on Joshua's head is a reminder of that, that it is Messiah who will fulfill the counsel of peace between the two offerings. These guys can go back and say, we saw the high priest with a crown on his head. And all of the Jewish exiles would say, wow, that's incredible. That's like Messiah. That's like Melchizedek. We saw the high priest with a crown on his head, combining the office of king and priest. The beginning of verse 15, there's a further prophetic application for Israel to be reminded. Verse 15, those who are far off will come and build the temple. These far off people, that is a reference to Gentiles. The temple in the millennial kingdom, the messianic temple, Jesus will build it. The Messiah will build it. The previous verses tell us that. But there will be Gentiles from other nations, people who are not Jewish, who are going to come and help Messiah in the building of the temple. The beginning of verse 15 tells us that. I've listed a number of other passages in your notes. Isaiah chapter 60, chapter 61, and also Haggai chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, all tell us this. And this is prophesied here. Now, this is pictured in our account by the Persian king sending silver and gold contributions, the Persian king helping to pay for the rebuilding of the second temple. That's a picture that Gentiles will help in the building of the messianic kingdom temple. People from far off will come and help build the millennial temple. So what are the exiles going to return and say? You know, that we got help from Persia for the rebuilding of our temple. We never thought about this, but that has prophetic implications for the whole future of Israel. That's an amazing thought. And it may remind us even tonight, there are things that go on all around you every day, And some of those things have prophetic implications that you don't even see. Do you know current events actually mean something in terms of the future? Everybody's headed some direction. Some prophetic events are leading to judgment and the tribulation period. Do you know you see those currents going on around you all the time, every day? You can't watch the news for more than 5 minutes without seeing something that is leading up to the tribulation. But other prophetic events remind us not just that judgment and tribulation is coming. Others remind us Jesus is coming. And we look to those. Now the end of verse 15, Joshua and all of Israel will know that the Lord of hosts has sent Zechariah to them. When this crown is set on Joshua's head, Joshua realizes Yahweh sent Zechariah to me. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of the angels, the angelic armies, has sent Zechariah to me to give this symbol of hope. Now, will all these things happen? Will Messiah, the branch, come? Will Israel have a glorious future in the millennial kingdom? Yes. But if you're a Jew living in Israel tonight, you might say, yeah, doesn't look like it, does it? But will it come? Yes. The end of verse 15, it will take place if you, and probably if you should better be rendered when you, it will take place when you completely obey the Lord your God. Israel's covenant promises under the Abrahamic covenant, Israel's promises are based on Israel hearing God's word and obeying it. Do you know where these words come from at the end of verse 15? They come from the beginning of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. So Zechariah is telling Israel, when you obey the Lord, these things will come for you. Messiah and his kingdom will come. Now, you and I know something tonight. We know this will not ultimately happen for Israel until the end, near the end of the tribulation period, when the leadership of Israel will say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and Messiah will come. All Israel will be saved. The second coming of Jesus will occur, and he will set foot on earth on the Mount of Olives, which we'll read about later in the book of Zechariah. That's what this is about. That will come. This is a prophetic statement, and Israel as a whole has yet to fulfill what Zechariah has instructed them. But here's the whole point of this prophetic application. Israel will. That day will come. And so as we read in Romans 11, and so all Israel shall be saved. That doesn't mean every Jew who ever lived. That means all Israel that is there at the time of the second coming of Jesus. True Israel, they'll be saved. So this crowning of Joshua has within it an astounding prophetic message that ought to cause us to be greatly encouraged. Now we'll see next time in chapter 7, there were concerns about how long is this rebuilding going to take and what does this mean for us and all of that. So people are still struggling with, hey, we've been in exile. It's been a hard time. It's been a difficult time. Is there any hope for the future? Zechariah says yes, and ultimately that hope is Messiah is coming. You might say tonight, well, look at all we've been through. Hey, we got exiled from our church building for a while. Look at all we've been through. Is there any hope? Say, oh yeah, the hope is in at some point rules are going to change. No, no. Here's the hope. Messiah is coming again. That's your hope. Your hope is in him. And that's the whole application of this section. Jesus fulfills the offices of prophet, priest, and king in one person. Let's stand for our closing prayer tonight. Lord, we do thank you for this amazing and beautiful prophetic picture in the crowning of Joshua the high priest. Lord, it's even fascinating to us that Joshua's name in Hebrew is Yeshua. It's Jesus. And so, Lord, we do see, even in these details of Old Testament history, are tucked away these profound messages that cause us always to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so, Lord, as we go from here tonight, may we be looking unto Jesus. It's all in Him. To your praise, to your honor, to your glory, forever and ever, in Jesus' name, amen.